Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You might have watched HBO Real Sports yesterday. You might have watched it on Fox 8 yesterday. All the investigations going on, all the interviews going on. We had on our station on 92.3 The Fan, you can hear it on 92.3thefan.com, Rusty Harden joined Afternoon Drive yesterday, the attorney, the lead attorney for Deshaun Watson. Coming up today at 6, Tony Busby, the lead attorney for the accusers, will be on Afternoon Drive. Two people who talked to both of them of the Fox 8 I team, Peggy and Ed Gallick, join us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Peggy, Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
First off, for you guys, what has this investigation been like? Has it been anywhere near anything like any of the other investigations you've had? Because this is getting to be a little bit bizarre here.
Well, I think what's really standing out is the complexity of it. Because when you have 22 women making complaints, what we're finding is when we look into the depositions, which we aired two of them yesterday from the women for the first time anywhere, those went on for hours. And what we found in those depositions, not only did you hear the complaint from the women, but you also heard the questions about what happened afterward. Why did you go back in the room with this person if you were scared? And then later, why didn't you make a police report until after you filed a civil suit? And then later, what about this attempt to settle for money before you filed the suit? All those questions come out, and all those questions get layered on times 22.
Boy, and just listening to you talk about this, just as a sidebar, I'm really curious because anytime we even breathe a sentence about this case, immediately people start tweeting at us that we're either in favor of the victims, the alleged victims, or Deshaun Watson. Like, it's every sentence. People have made up their mind on this issue, and this is how these cases, and you have followed cases like these that are very, very tough. There are conflicts, obviously, when you do this. How do you make sure, just as journalists, just as a sidebar here, that when you're covering this, you are being as fair as humanly possible? Because every day you have a new story out, people are accusing the media of tilting this to one side or the other.
Exactly. And I feel your pain because we get the exact same thing. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But what we're trying to do and what I tell everybody when they write in, we're just trying to gather all the information from both sides so we can present it so you can decide, so they can look at it and they can decide. So we have constantly, daily, when we have been doing these stories, we reach out to Tony Busby, the attorney for the accusers. We reach out to Rusty Harden and his staff, the attorneys for Watson, to give us the information. So that's why we spent the last couple of days, almost probably 15 hours, just reviewing the deposition tapes of two people because they were about 5 to 6 hours apiece, to go through it so we can be fair.
And when we put those stories together, to Peggy's point, even when you say, here's half the story, half the story is based on what the accusation was. This is what the woman is saying, and she's saying it tearfully. And then you do half the story with what the follow-up questions were. You still get emails where people say, well, geez, how come you only told her side? Or, geez, how come you only showed how she might have been wrong? And it wasn't the case at all. The person just didn't watch the story.
Peg and Ed Gallick joining us on the hotline from the Fox 8 I-Team. So last night, a lot of people were watching, and maybe their minds were made up, or maybe they were trying to be as open-minded as possible. I'll start out with you, Ed. Did you think that anything necessarily was unearthed, or do you think in the court of public sentiment, anything changed yesterday?
I would say that, and I'm speaking here, and I don't want to come off as touting ourselves here, but I really believe, honestly, that the presentation that we had with the depositions yesterday of the two women, one of which was on that HBO special, presented a much more broad picture, overall picture of what really happened and where this is than you saw in those national interviews, because it really got the depositions really drilled down to all of the things that everybody's asking about. Did this happen? Why did that happen? Those kinds of questions came out.
Well, one other follow-up, because a lot has been made on why in the grand jury, in the case in front of the grand juries in two different counties, why so few accusers ended up being able to provide their testimony live. And we know those proceedings are very shielded and for good reason. But why was it that more accusers did not provide testimony? And is that something, I know that a few professors have weighed in on this, and some legal scholars have said that they feel that these cases are so tough to win, even though you can indict a ham sandwich. At the same time, the thought is that if you feel like you can't win this case as a prosecutor, you're not going to present the strongest case. Do you feel that that is a fair depiction or unfair?
You know, that one is it's so hard to tell, because if you remember, there were 22 women who have filed civil suits, but only 10 filed criminal complaints. So you could only have, so they could only go to the grand jury on the people that actually filed the criminal complaint. So the one in Harris County went to the grand jury with 9. Now, we do know that Lauren Baxley, the one woman that we had her deposition yesterday, she has said before that she was at the grand jury. Ashley Solis also filed a criminal. She was on the HBO special, and we had her deposition yesterday. She was also at the grand jury. She said she testified in front of the grand jury. So we know there were two people there. I don't know how many, and I don't know for sure if Lauren actually testified. Now, in the other case in Brazoria County, that was only one case. That went to the grand jury, and we're told that that person also testified. So I think part of the problem is when people say, oh, the grand jury looked at all 22 cases. Well, no, they didn't. They only looked at the 10 of the criminal complaints that were filed.
So is there any possible that any of this could go back to court, or is this a criminal court, or is this a settled scenario here?
At this point, you would have to have somebody else would have to file a criminal complaint, and then it would have to go, you know, you would start again at the very beginning. They would file the criminal complaint, it would go to the detective, then it would be looked at the prosecutor, and then they would determine if it would go to the grand jury. So there is a possibility if there's different or new complaints that are filed.
Peg and Ed Gallick join us on the hotline. You've gotten a chance to talk to the attorneys. You've done substantial coverage on this on both sides for this case. Do you think a settlement, I know this is just total speculation, do you think a settlement is coming? Because we have heard all sorts of discussion. In our station yesterday, they had Rusty Harden on. He admitted that there had been settlement talks. Do you think it is a foregone conclusion that a settlement comes? Or do you think right now that is very unclear?
Well, the old saying about civil court cases is, there's never going to be a settlement until 15 minutes before the hearing on the steps of the courthouse. So many of these things do get settled out of the blue at the last minute. But I can tell you, Peggy and I determined that there were two solid attempts at settling this a while ago, one to pay the women $100,000 each or about, and another to pay the women $45,000 in each. However, months after that, or at least several weeks after that, there was another overture from one side to the other discussing, is there a possibility of settling again? And I don't think that actually went anywhere. But I guess I bring that up only to say that nothing's impossible. And even after those first two attempts failed, there was still some rumbling of a possible settlement. So nothing's impossible.
Oh, real quick, Ed, can you clarify when that third attempt was possibly made there?
April.
This last April, then?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Peggy, one of the accusers in the HBO special yesterday had to clarify that she was not a sex worker, that she was a masseuse. Of the 22 accusers, and we know there were a few other accusers who withdrew their case as well, but of the 22, just strictly dealing with them, how many are certified masseuses?
As far as we can tell, most of them, the majority of them. Now, I haven't been able to get licenses of all of them yet. You know, we've got requests out and we're waiting things back. But as far as we can tell, the majority of them are licensed massage therapists.
All right. And Ed, just strictly speaking from what the Browns, what you've been able to understand from the Browns' point of view, because we know, and it came up again yesterday, they did not reach out to the accusers. Obviously, their counsel told them that was not a good idea. There was a pending investigation, and the women seemed upset with that fact, along with the contract that Deshaun Watson just signed. From the Browns' point of view, what did they know regarding some of the testimony of the women? How much of the depositions were made available to them? How much of the video was made available to them? For instance, the Deshaun Watson testifying 2 weeks ago in a civil case, that he knows that one of the accusers was weeping, was crying at the end of a session, and he had to apologize to them. Did the Browns for sure know that?
I'm not exactly sure the timetable of when all of the depositions that have been taken so far were taken in relation to when the Browns actually went down there to interview Deshaun. But what we're told is that Dee and Jimmy Haslam together, along with other Browns executives, spent many hours with Deshaun and his attorneys talking to him, talking about all of this and talking about football. Now, whether you agree or disagree, that's enough, not enough, that's up to you and your own individual opinion. I guess I'm just trying to give you some perspective that this wasn't a quick phone call down there and said, hey, what do you know about Deshaun? You know, we got the impression that they actually spent some substantial time down there. Again, it's for each person to decide whether or not that's enough for them to vet this out.
Now, and Rusty Harden did say that he went over all of these cases with them in great length and went over all of the facts. So that's what he's saying. So now if he presented all of that, and that's what he's telling us he did. Now, we do know that they did not reach out because of their legal counsel. They didn't reach out to Tony Busby or the 22 accusers.
Yeah, the only reason I press on that question, and we've been talking to a bunch of the people who've been privy to certain aspects of this case, and certainly from the Browns' point of view, too, because we know what the Browns have shared, is that I do think it's important to know what the Browns knew. And the reason I feel that that's important is if any of us are still sitting here wondering whether this was a good idea for them to pursue Deshaun Watson, and we know the football reasons for doing this. But as fans are concerned, and the stuff that we're hearing from fans, you know, fans do want to be able to defend their quarterback. They want to be able to defend their team. And so I do think it's important to know if there have been any surprises, if there have been certain aspects of the case that have ended up emerging that the Browns might not have known, that might have had the Browns second-guessing their decision to go after him. I do think that's only fair.
Well, remember this one element of surprise, if you will. When Peggy and I had first started covering this, we determined there was one more case going to a grand jury in Brazoria County. And that came to light after the Browns had made the announcement that they were signing Deshaun Watson. And that was just a day or two before they introduced him here in Cleveland. Now, the Browns said, oh, yeah, we were aware there was that one more dangling criminal case. But nonetheless, they did make that announcement before all of the criminal cases had been heard by grand juries.
Can you clarify which side in the possible settlements wanted non-disclosure agreements?
Well, it's a little bit from both. What we're told is that Deshaun Watson did not want a non-disclosure agreement. He wanted everyone to know exactly what he was paying. That's what we were told from Rusty Harden, his lead attorney on the case, that he did not want it. Rusty says that Tony Busby, the attorney for the accusers, he wanted a non-disclosure agreement. He did not want people to know exactly what they were getting. Now, Tony Busby tells us that at least one of the accusers, Ashley Solis, did not want a non-disclosure agreement. I don't know if the other ones did. So I guess I can't tell you exactly how many, but we're told that for sure Deshaun Watson did not want one. and Ashley Solis did not want one.
He did not want one in any of the cases, any of the 22, correct?
Right. He did not want one at all. He wanted everyone, if they were settled, he wanted everyone to know the terms of that settlement.
Boy,
the view there was they were going to settle for, in their view, so little. The view there was, hey, we want the world to know how little these women are settling for. That was their view.
Ed and Peggy Gallick joining us here on the show, Fox 8 Ad Team. I mean, it sounds in a lot of ways like, okay, you have people who are okay with an NDA, who are the accusers. You have some of the accusers who are okay with the NDA. You have some who are certainly not. Watson isn't okay with any of the non-disclosure agreements, doesn't want one in any of the cases here. I mean, it sounds like this is in fits and starts and could continue quite a while if they were to go to court on every single one of these cases.
Exactly. That, you know, I was thinking that too the other day, because they're saying the first case most likely is not going to go to trial until next April. So that's the first case. So how long is it going to take to get these other ones when there's 22?
And one of the arguments is, if they have the first person go to trial, the argument then becomes, are you allowed to bring in these other 21 women and their experiences to bolster the case of the one woman, or are you not? Because if you are, that obviously expands the timetable and all of that. So the question becomes, are each of these handled separately? And if they are handled separately, how much of the others can you bring into each of those cases?
Peggy, Ed, we know you guys got a lot more. We know that your investigation continues tonight. We'll be watching on Fox 8. From a personal standpoint, Peg, we saw your post. We are sorry about your cat. That's very, very sad.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's heartbreaking when you have a pet that you lose. We loved our cat, Pumpkin.
Yes, ma'am.
Peggy, how old did your cat make it?
He was 14, but he had an immune disorder. So we were bringing him back to the vet a couple times every month. So his poor little body, he just couldn't fight anymore. But he was a wonderful cat.
We like the check-ins on Pumpkins, you know, back in the day. So we are sorry to hear that, Peggy. Thank you guys very much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Peggy and Ed Gallick, Fox 8 I Team on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Man, that's so sad. Milo's 12. Milo's 12, Kenny.
Well, it's going to impact Sarah significantly more.
Yeah.
Than
also, if you're the vet, Egg and Peggy walking through the doors. I just wonder.
We didn't do anything.
I know. Every step of their life, they walk into a bar. They walk into a restaurant.
That bar and that guy was like, hey, you're Ed Gallick.
Hey!
And he's like, oh, my God, you're Ed Gallick.
Oh,
like,
it's a pandemic and a lockdown. We can't be here.
I did tell you what I wanted to do.
Whoopsie daisy.
I was thinking about for Halloween. I go, would it not be the best if I took Ed and Peggy Gallick with me trick or treat with my kids? What do you do? My kids should go as Ed and Peggy with Ed and Peggy.
We looked inside his candy bowl, yes. And what we found may shock you.
A lot of doors slamming and a lot of feet.
Coming up next, we're not here to be their bad football Sherpas. They have to learn the hard way, just like we did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.